the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on this exciting weekend in Rome, when the Jubilee of Youth that started July 28th continues with a vigil Sunday night and a Mass Sunday morning on the Tor Vergata Esplanade, and this will conclude the week-long event. Pope Leo will preside at both of those weekend events to the great joy of young people in Rome, 1 million, according to Vatican News. My young guest in the interview segment is Johnny Verba, creator of the now-famous 1,000-piece mosaic that depicts the future St. Carlo Acutis. Johnny spent some days in Rome during the Jubilee, sharing the mosaic and its story with young people. Johnny's very life seems like a wonderful, colorful, multifaceted mosaic, as we learn this week and next. His energy and enthusiasm could light up a Christmas tree. His joie de vivre is contagious as he talks about what prompted him to make this artistic tribute to Carlo Acutis, his travels with the 3x4-foot mosaic, and how he faces challenges and new opportunities in life. We also talk about his self-stated mission to be a catalyst for a new renaissance in the Catholic faith through storytelling and deeply meaningful multimedia art. So don't miss Johnny Verba's wonderful story after the news. Now, some of the top stories. Sunday, July 27th. On his first Sunday back in Rome after a brief period in Castel Gandolfo, Pope Leo XIV recited the Angelus from the window of the papal study in the Apostolic Palace, addressing thousands of faithful in St. Peter's Square. He reflected on the day's gospel in which Jesus teaches his disciples the Our Father, and he also noted that Sunday marked the fifth World Day of Grandparents and the Elderly. Let us look to grandparents and the elderly as witnesses of hope, capable of lighting the path for new generations. Let's not leave them alone, but join them in a covenant of love and prayer. Then, with emotion, Leo stated, "I'm following with great concern the dire humanitarian situation in Gaza, where the civilian population is suffering from severe hunger and remains exposed to death and violence. I renew my heartfelt appeal for a ceasefire, the release of hostages, and the full respect of humanitarian law." He also had greetings in English, including a shout-out to EWTN's Summer Academy participants. Monday, July 28th. Greeting young people from his beloved Peru who are in Rome for the Jubilee of Youth, Pope Leo gave them some homework, asking them not to let the Jubilee be for making memories preserved in photos, but to bring the good news of Christ home and to make all people they meet see the face of Christ. "I would like that when you return to Peru, you flood those lands with the joy and strength of the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ." And of course, this is a great message for all ages. Also Monday, Pope Leo expressed sorrow and spiritual closeness following the deadly attack on a church in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Over 40 people were killed Sunday when rebels stormed the Catholic Church during a vigil and opened fires on worshipers. May the blood of these martyrs become a seed of peace, reconciliation, fraternity, and love for the Congolese people, the Pope wrote in his message following this brutal attack on the church. Also Monday, in a message to the International Federation of Catholic Universities, Pope Leo called on Catholic universities to remain firmly rooted in Christ, the source of true wisdom. Quoting from the Church Fathers, including St. Augustine and St. Paul, he highlighted the enduring need for Catholic institutions to illuminate the Holy Spirit by anchoring knowledge in divine truth. And again, Monday, Pope Leo addressed a group of young French catechumens and neophytes, that is to say recently baptized, saying, "What joy to see young people who are committing themselves to the faith and who want to give meaning to their lives by letting themselves be guided by Christ and his gospel." Tuesday, July 29th. Tuesday evening, Archbishop Rino Fisichella, pro-prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization, presided at the opening Mass for the Jubilee of Youth in St. Peter's Square. At the end of Mass, To the immense surprise and joy of all present, Pope Leo thrilled the young crowds with a surprise ride on the Popemobile, circling the square and riding the full length of Via della Conciliazione. He told the young people, speaking off the cuff in three languages, "You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world." And he invited them to pray for peace. As one media outlet put it, a rock star was born. Earlier Tuesday morning in St. Peter's Basilica, at the close of Mass for digital missionaries and Catholic influencers, presided over by Cardinal Luis Tagle, Pope Leo joined the faithful, and he spoke and challenged everyone to use social media to promote a human culture. In three languages, he called for an end to violence in the world, saying that proclaiming peace is the mission of both the world and all those who have gathered in Rome for the Jubilee, stating digital missionaries are essential to this mission. Peace needs to be sought, proclaimed, and shared everywhere, both in the tragic places of war and in the empty hearts of those who've lost the meaning of existence and the taste for interiority, for spiritual life. Also Tuesday, the Vatican released Pope Leo's prayer intention for August 2025, inviting us to pray, quote, that societies avoid internal conflicts due to ethnic, political, religious, or ideological reasons, and encouraging us to seek paths of dialogue and respond to conflict with gestures of fraternity. Wednesday, July 30th. After a break in July, Pope Leo resumed weekly general audiences, this week concluding the catechetical series on the public life of Jesus, which he described as being marked by encounters, parables, and healings. Leo said, "This time we are living through also needs healing." And he described today's world as being marked by a climate of violence and hatred that deeply wounds human dignity. Our society, he said, is growing ill, not from isolation, but from a kind of overload. We are hyperconnected, bombarded by images, sometimes false or distorted. Social media, he warned, has produced a kind of emotional bulimia, where too much input leaves us exhausted and confused. Reflecting on the gospel story of Jesus healing a man who was deaf and mute, Leo said, "After meeting Jesus, the man begins to speak again. And this detail reveals a deeper truth. Perhaps the man had been silent because he didn't know how to speak, or he didn't feel adequate. Let us ask the Lord," said Leo, "to heal our way of communicating and to help the church remain a place where every person can hear his word, be healed, and become a messenger of his salvation. May our words heal people, not hurt them." At the end of the audience, the Holy Father renewed his sorrow for the brutal terrorist attack on a Catholic church the night of July 26 and 27 in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where more than 40 Christians were killed during a prayer vigil and even in their own homes. He launched an impassioned appeal for all efforts to be made to prevent such tragedies, and he reassured Christians suffering violence and persecution that he is praying for them. Thursday, July 31st, really big news. The Vatican announced that Pope Leo XIV has confirmed the affirmative opinion of the plenary session of cardinals and bishops, members of the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints, regarding the title of Doctor of the Universal Church, which will soon be conferred on St. John Henry Newman. Thus, Cardinal Newman is the 38th saint to be named a Doctor of the Church, a title given to those who have made significant contributions to theology and doctrine through their writings and teachings. Among the doctors are Saints Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, Jerome, Pope St. Gregory, John Chrysostom, Basil the Great, and Gregor of Nazianzus, to name but a few. The four women doctors of the Church are Saints Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Avila, Thérèse of Lisieux, and Hildegard of Bingen. Friday, August 1st, a Vatican news story reported that for the hundreds of thousands of young pilgrims who have arrived in Rome for the Jubilee, Friday, August 1st will be a day fully dedicated to the Sacrament of Reconciliation before gathering with Pope Leo on Saturday and Sunday at the Tor Vergata Esplanade. At the Circus Maximus from 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., 200 confession stations will be available, staffed by priests and confessors ready to listen. Well, those are the top news stories, but now Stay tuned for my conversation with Johnny Verba, creator of the now famous 1,000-piece mosaic that depicts the future St. Carlo Acutis.
I firmly believe that prayer is communication with God. And if we know that God is a loving Father, why wouldn't we want to talk to God? The reality is, we've got to talk to our family, we've got to talk to our friends, and if God is real, and God is definitely real, He wants to hear about our day. He also wants to know how we're doing and what our needs are. Prayer is communication with God.
Hi, I'm Doug Keck. This is an EWTN Bookmark Brief, speaking with my great friend, Father Joseph Mary Wolfe, MFVA, about a new book published by EWTN. Mother Angelica Talks It Over, and it's from Mother Angelica's television show of the same name. So tell me, Father, what's the message do you think Mother was trying to get across in this series of programs related to this book?
You know, she's talking to high school kids, at least on one of the programs, but I think several of the programs here in the garage studio. A lot of it, she's talking about how they too are called to be holy, to grow in holiness, to stand tall when they've got peer pressure telling them all these different things. Mm-hmm. And yet, how they need to bring, even in their high school life, bring Jesus into everything.
Father Joseph Mary Wolfe, Mother Angelica Talks It Over, published by EWTN proudly, available naturally through our EWTN religious catalog, EWTNRC.com for all things Catholic and all things Mother Angelica. I'm Doug Keck. This has been a Bookmark Brief. Thanks for stopping by. We'll see you next time.
With news from EWTN's Vatican Bureau, you can watch all of the important events from Rome, even if you don't have TV access. Using the latest technology, we've made it possible to watch the latest news from the Holy See, all delivered directly to your home via live streams. Watch live on EWTN's YouTube channel and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Well, I want to welcome my guest this week to another really extraordinary edition of Vatican Insider of the interview segment, because my guest in Rome this week is Johnny Verba. Now, he's in Rome to talk about the now very celebrated 1,000-piece mosaic he created of soon-to-be St. Carlo Acutis. Now, that mosaic is a featured part of the Blessed Carlo Acutis Center in Rome. It was hosted by Catholic Christian Outreach, CCO, but it was only open for 3 days during the Jubilee of Youth, July 29th, 30th, and 31st. And as a matter of fact, we were there together on the day that I'm recording this show, so that was a very special visit. Now, the center was located in the Church of San Marcello al Corso, near Piazza Venezia in Rome, where pilgrims venerated and were blessed by a first-class pericardium relic of Blessed Carlo. And they wrote their prayer intentions on cards to be taken to his tomb in Assisi. So it's a long introduction, but Johnny, welcome to Vatican Insider.
Thank you so much, Joan, for having me. It is a pleasure, and I look forward to our conversation.
Well, we've had a wonderful conversation, even in the church and coming here. But so our focus will be, of course, that's why you're in Rome, on that mosaic and on Blessed Carlo. But first, some background. Now, as your website says, you hail from Geneva, Illinois. You graduated summa cum laude from Arizona State University with a degree in management and a certificate in international business. But so let's look a bit at your family and where you live now, etc.
Absolutely. So my family raised me Catholic, and we grew up in a suburb an hour west of Chicago called Geneva, as you mentioned. And I, of course, attended Arizona State. And after those 4 years, I actually served as a campus missionary with a group called St. Paul's Outreach in St. Paul, Minnesota. And after those 2 years, from 2022 to 2024, I then moved to Denver to pursue a business opportunity and to create my artwork.
Oh, wow. Denver, the Mile High City. As a matter of fact, the only time I've ever been in Denver was 1993, sorry to say, folks, at World Youth Day. I worked at the Vatican, and I was in the Papal Party. That was quite extraordinary. In studying your website and so forth and things you've read and videos, a question kind of popped up in my mind, and it's What is your answer when people ask you what you do? Because, you know, I don't introduce you as professor, father, etc. Do you have a title for yourself?
That's a wonderful question, and actually very pertinent and a good time to ask it, because as I've been in Rome and even Assisi the past week, I have experienced a little bit of this imposter syndrome, and this might be a little bit of a longer answer, but people have been introducing me as, this is Johnny Verba, the artist from Geneva, Illinois. And actually receiving that title as artist, even though it might not be my entire full-time gig, but it could be, and I would love that to be the case, if the Lord wills it, I would say artist. And also author, but for right now, Johnny Verba the artist, no doctor, no a title before, but a title after.
Oh, you did write a book on your experience of a semester abroad on
a
ship.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, there is so much on your page. It's just fascinating. And by the way, his last name is spelled, if you're going to look it up, V-R-B-A. So there is a lot of information to give people an idea of the diversity of your skills and achievements. But I really have to point out to one major event early on. At 19, you became a founding father of the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity at Arizona State. And you led the fraternity to become the fastest growing SAE chapter in history. You spearheaded its inaugural Climb for a Cause, which was summiting Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania, which is one of the seven summits of the world. Mm-hmm. And this was done in support of the J.P. McNicholas Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. So you shot, edited, and produced a documentary of this climb to the roof of Africa, which raised tens of thousands of dollars for pediatric brain tumor research. And then, this is fascinating, as a sophomore at Arizona State, you taught WPC 101, an introductory business course, to freshmen, so just a year younger than you. Mm-hmm. But the reason I even bring this up, Johnny, is meeting you, our conversation this morning and everything, it seems to be, the story, an outline of how you approach and manage a new challenge. You don't seem daunted by new ideas. Am I right in that assessment?
You are correct, yes. And even as Bussa Pier Giorgio Frassati, soon to be canonized.
Okay. Together, the two of them. You know, the city of Rome right now, there's at least 500,000 young people. You and I are talking during the Jubilee of Youth.
Yes.
It began July 28th and ends Sunday with the Papal Mass at Tor Vergata University. I feel like we've seen 500,000 people just walking around the streets of Rome. It is really, really phenomenal, and I'm so glad. Of course, it was your mosaic that brought you here for Carlo, but we also discovered that Pier Giorgio Frassati, whom you mentioned, born and raised in Turin, northern Italy, his body is incorrupt. So we have the first millennial saint, Carlo, and then we have Pier Giorgio, who died at the age of almost 25, I believe. That was 100 years ago. And both of them in corrupt bodies. It's quite amazing. But that is how you approach things like you did with at Arizona State. You know, nothing's... You say, why not? Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, why? Mm-hmm. In front of a challenge.
Yes, in the fraternities, if you go back to 1856 in Alabama, when our Mother Mu, the first chapter of Sigma Alpha Epsilon started, the founding fathers, and please, I encourage you to look this up, it's public and it's something that we all recite as SAE brothers, and it's the true gentleman, and it's something that we want to uphold ourselves to, and it's not always the case. And you find this reputation with fraternities that it's not a very good one, and there's a lot of stuff that can happen at parties and such and such. The true gentleman is exactly what Carlo's teachers said about him. He was a true gentleman. And so this creed is sort of the fraternity, the Christian, the actual, like the high ideal. And it kind of mimics the Nicene Creed. And so even fraternities today, yes, we want to emulate and go back to our roots.
These roots have sometimes been destroyed. Roots of a tree, it can be bad weather, it can be a disease or something. But the true, real roots of an organization, etc., are usually the best anyway, right? Now, interestingly enough, again, on your webpage, it ends with this. Johnny's current mission is to be a catalyst for a new renaissance of the Catholic faith through storytelling and deeply meaningful multimedia art. So was it this mission, your current mission, that led you to make the Carlo Acutis mosaic? But I will be featuring a picture of it on my blog, as I always do. So did this Carlo Acutis mosaic, was this your new challenge?
Yes, and when you think about mosaics, you think of tiles. You can think about people using mosaics out of small pieces that are flat. And I wanted to make a mosaic out of toys. I had been inspired by something I saw in downtown Chicago using toys, but not for the Lord, for different purposes. And I wanted to repurpose toys, and especially with Carlo being 15, would have played with the same NES Nintendo controllers with small action figures. He played with toys. He was a boy. And so you can picture this photograph, which is entirely comprised of 1,000 toys. And so you asked if that mission had invigorated me with the zeal to create this piece, and actually it was creating the piece that formulated the mission.
Aww.
So it was creating the mosaic that actually, as I was building it, crafted this mission statement as I was creating.
My listeners know that on the Friday before my interview, my weekend news show airs, I always post who my guest is going to be in the segment. I post a picture and any important information or links. And let me tell you, folks, there is a link to a video in which Johnny explains, and you're looking at it, so, you know, he and I are just using words today, but you will be seeing pictures of this so-called mosaic. Every little piece is, you know, is meaningful. And when you start the video, you might say, oh, should I do this? I don't have enough time. Let me tell you, you're going to finish it. It's totally, totally riveting. So you got your idea from something you saw in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, there was an original artist, Roger Carter, actually, and he had been doing pictures of George Floyd, and it was for something entirely different, but I had seen it at a distance. I actually didn't know who he was, and it took time of me looking up. What do you look up? Art mosaic made of figures, and I'd remembered that idea, yeah. And I said, well, what if I had them facing the crucifix? What if I had other toys? And then it blew up from there in my mind, and I started to jot down all the ideas.
You really have to watch the video, because you do explain each single thing and how it's linked to,
exactly,
or is a part of Carlo's life. And then today in the church, mm-hmm, I said, okay, now, Johnny, what is the... It's Carlo's face that we're looking at, okay? But the background to this piece, which is 3 by 4 feet, you said? The background, it's green. And you told me that is grass. Say that again to our listeners.
Yes, that is a grassy turf that is glued on there with actually a spray concrete cement. And, of course, that's the pitch. That is the turf. That's the grass that Carlo would have played his the beautiful game, football. So you have the two soccer goals. And so everything is incorporated.
Okay, and then when I do put up the picture that I took of that, I will explain the grass as well and the two soccer goals. So to look at that a little more in depth, you know, how you made the mosaic, we're hearing all these little parts that are going together, the time involved, and what inspired the different pieces.
Mm-hmm. Well, the time was approximately 6 or 7 months working on other things and, of course,
sure,
being on mission at the same time, and it was about 500 hours in total, which is quite a few hours. I was,
yeah,
keeping track from idea in my head to starting to do an outline on paper to then actually buying the materials on Facebook Marketplace and finding. I didn't have 1,000 figures. I had a couple hundred maybe, but I still had to go out and find these toys. And beyond that, the initial connection to Carlo, I had never heard of Carlo until last the beginning of summer 2024, when a student named Allie, who I was very close friends with, told me about Carlo and introduced me to him. And that's got the gears turning about different toys and creating this piece, and she reminded me that, well, he was just, the canonization was not announced, the date. So I knew in November they would announce the date, and then potentially I could bring it to Rome.
And as a matter of fact, you've met the family, you've been to Italy, you've met, did you meet his dad too, or just, you met mom and dad?
We originally had a meeting with Mrs. Acutis, but it was actually canceled due to Papa Francesco's passing. And so I've never met the family.
Oh, well, he was supposed to be, Carlo Acutis was going to be canonized on April 27th,
exactly,
a jubilee of young people.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, the Pope died, you know, Easter Monday, so his funeral was on the 27th. So,
and we were there, yeah.
Obviously, yes, exactly.
So, one day I hope to meet the family 100%. And they know of the piece. They've seen the website, but they haven't seen it in person.
Oh, they haven't?
Yes.
Oh, how exciting.
The goal was for my 25th birthday to bring it. We actually had an appointment set up with Antonia in Assisi on the 28th, the day after the supposed canonization.
Oh.
That was canceled. So they were going to meet and to see it, and that was all postponed indefinitely.
But sure.
It's in Italy. They live in Milano, so yeah. They will come to the Centro San Lorenzo.
How is that packed for travel?
That's a great question.
Because it's so delicate.
Very carefully.
It's all third dimensional, because if you were to lay this on its side, I mean on a table, flat on a table, you're still looking at the crucifix. There's three dimension there.
The pieces stick out and they're delicate, and it cannot have any weight on that side at all. So shout out to Phoenix Art Care in Arizona, a Catholic group, and Sacred Art Galleries down in Mesa and Scottsdale. And they helped me create a frame that would put no pressure on any of the figures, no matter what dimension that DHL twisted it, and so it was actually very safe the entire time. And when it arrived, there was a big reveal and a whole bunch of air in our lungs, and we held our breath, unscrewed all the 26 nails, opened the cover, and Carlo was intact.
Wow. Oh, thank God. Well, that's all the time I have today with Johnny Verba, creator of the now famous mosaic that depicts future St. Carlo Acutis. Johnny had spent some days in Rome during the Jubilee of Youth, sharing the mosaic and its story with young people. Johnny's very life seems like a wonderful, colorful, multifaceted mosaic, and we learn more next week in part two of our conversation when we talk more about what prompted him to make this artistic tribute to Carlo Acutis, as well as the meaning of his self-stated mission, quote, to be a catalyst for a new renaissance in the Catholic faith through storytelling and meaningful multimedia art. Was this mission behind the Acutis mosaic? What is his next step on this mission to be a catalyst for a new renaissance in the faith? Johnny also tells us of his hopes for the mosaic to be a teaching tool for teachers and children.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.